At this moment of rhetoric and fury around the U.S.-Mexico border, writer and former U.S. Border Patrol agent Francisco Cantu has written the new book, The Line Becomes a River. The book is Cantu's personal exploration of the border, its politics, gatekeepers, and victims on both sides of the line. Cantu is the Mexican-American grandson of border crossers, raised in Arizona by his mother, a park ranger, and the daughter of a Mexican immigrant. Haunted by the landscape of his youth, he joined the Border Patrol. He and his partners learned to track other humans under blistering sun and through frigid nights. Cantu never imagined the number of bodies he would have to collect of people who died trying to cross the desert in the middle of a scorching summer. And he hadn't expected the relentless teeth-gnashing nightmares that would plague him for years, nightmares so terrifying that they forced him to quit the patrol. To tell us more and to tell us about the new book, The Line Becomes a River, Dispatches from the Border, we welcome Francisco Cantu to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me onto the show.
Very nice to have you. What brought you to want to tell this story and realize that you had something to say about this issue that we are discussing in our national conversation?
Yeah, you know, years after I left the Border Patrol, it's still sort of that work really stayed with me. I think I became really interested in the extent to which I had sort of normalized the violence of that job and, you know, participated in the violence of that job. And I began thinking about writing this book as basically just a way to make sense of that, to come to terms with that. And, you know, so it's a very personal story. I'm looking at how, you know, I was sort of conditioned to, you know, accept violence and dehumanize migrants. But I'm also interested in exploring that on a broader societal level. You know, I think we dehumanize migrants and simplify our border situation, you know, with a lot of the rhetoric and politics that we hear. So it's sort of an exploration of all of those things.
So bring us to the point where you decided that you wanted to be a part of the United States Border Patrol. What went into that decision?
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned, my mother was a park ranger, so I grew up in the Southwest. I grew up, you know, close to the desert. And when I went to college, I studied immigration and border issues, and you know, I really became obsessed there with finding answers to a lot of these same questions that we're grappling with right now as a nation. And at the time I left college, you know, I felt that a lot of the book learning I had done was divorced from the realities of the border itself, of like the actual landscape of the border and the desert. And so I was really, you know, looking to answer those questions, and I was looking to, you know, experience and see for myself what the day-to-day realities on the border were. And the Border Patrol, I think, much to the horror of my mother, it really seemed like the only way at the time to do that. And so that's why I joined.
So give us an idea of the job. I'm assuming, like most jobs, there is no typical day. But give us an idea of what your job was, what the responsibilities were, and as you set out, of what you were accomplishing.
Sure. I think, you know, it should always be said that, you know, the reality of the job was that, you know, 80% of the time, you know, you're just kind of looking at dirt and driving in your car, you know, like kind of hiking alone out in the desert, or you know, you're literally watching the fence rust on the border.
80% looking at the dirt.
Right. I mean, you know, sort of your bread and butter as a border patrol agent, looking for footprints and foot sign, as we would call it. And, you know, so you're supposed to read the landscape for signs of other people's crossing. And then, you know, the other, you know, 20% of the job or 10% of the job or however much it is a lot of the things that, you know, your listeners might imagine, you know, the exciting parts of the job, so to speak, you know, car chases or drug busts or apprehending people. But, you know, when I left the Border Patrol and when I was starting to think about writing this book, what really stuck with me were not those moments. What really stuck with me were the encounters that I had with the people that were crossing the border, the conversations that I had with them. And so that's really what the book revolves around, is those human interactions.
And what did you get from those human interactions? What did you learn about the place where you lived and the place where you grew up and what that was like through those interactions?
You know, I think each and every one of those interactions kind of breaks down some of these larger, you know, stereotypes or black and white ways of understanding the border, understanding the people who cross it. You know, one of the things that we hear so much, right, is that, you know, okay, there's good guys and there's bad guys crossing the border, and you know, the good people are just coming here to work. And I think if you live far away from the border, you maybe hear that so much that it's just this abstract platitude. But, you know, when you have somebody standing in front of you, as I did, you know, I was rolling this guy's fingerprints and putting him in and processing him, you know, to be sent on to Mexico. And I remember him looking at me and saying, you know, while I wait around here at the station for the bus to come pick me up, you know, is there anything I can do? I want to show you that I'm here to work. I can take out the trash. I can sweep the floors. And so an interaction like that, it makes it personal, and it's no longer this abstract thing. There's a person in front of you telling you that. And, you know, like seeing a dead body in the desert, the idea that people are risking their lives is no longer abstract to you. It's very specific, and it's horrifying. I mean, you're looking at the consequences right in front of you.
You used the word violence a moment ago of dealing and seeing and being a participant in that violence. Talk a little bit about that. And, you know, we see it so often depicted on television and movies that I think there is a desensitizing to it. But how did it strike you and ultimately how it led to nightmares that led you to say, okay, I've had enough?
So I think, you know, when I use the word violence, you know, I was lucky in my time in the Border Patrol. I never had, you know, an actual violent encounter. But when I use the word violence, I mean, you know, the violence of encountering people who are risking their lives or encountering somebody who had lost their life. And, you know, to return to that example of the dead body, it wasn't just the fact that I was, you know, confronted with a man's dead body who, you know, I remember his face. I'll never forget, you know, his face. But the other thing that you're confronted with is people who are having to deal with the consequences of that. I mean, it's strange to talk about the border as being a hard job or being hard on Border Patrol because, you know, of course, it's much harder on the people who are risking their lives in a much more direct way. So when I think about that man, I think about actually his nephew and his nephew's friend that had traveled with him and that were standing there next to his body. And, you know, I had to explain to them these bureaucratic procedures about, okay, the local law enforcement is going to take possession of the body. The county medical examiner, you know, has to determine the cause of death. And then you can't come with the body. You can't bring the body back to Mexico, but you can contact the Mexican consulate. And, you know, just all of these absurd things. And I remember looking at the faces of those boys and the way that they, you know, were just nodding their heads because, you know, we were men in uniform and they knew that that's what they were supposed to do. But, you know, we were tearing them away from the body of a loved one that had just lost their life. And you don't forget that. It makes these arguments, you know, personal and specific.
Toward the end of the book, you write, some politicians in the United States think that if a mother or father is deported, this will cause the entire family to move back to Mexico. But in fact, the mothers and fathers with the best family values will want their family to stay in the United States. They will cross the border again and again to be with them. So you see, these same people, the ones with the most dedication to their family, they begin to build up a record of deportation. They have more and more problems with the government, and it becomes harder and harder for them to ever become legal. In this way, the U.S. is making criminals out of those who could become its very best citizens. With that in mind, where are we now? As I said at the beginning of our conversation, we are having a national conversation on this issue. What do you believe we should be keeping in mind, and certainly with the stories that you tell in the book?
You know, I'm glad that you read that passage, and those actually those aren't my words. I didn't write those words. Those are you know, that section is a monologue of a friend of mine, a man I became friends with years after leaving the Border Patrol. His name was Jose.
Right.
We worked together for years. I didn't know he was undocumented until, you know, he left the country because his mother had died, and then he couldn't get back in. He was apprehended crossing the border, and that's when I found out that he was undocumented. He had, you know, three United States citizen children. He had lived here for 30 years. And so seeing his story was the first time that I had really, really, truly looked behind the curtain at what happened to, what kinds of things happened to the people that I would, you know, apprehend in the desert and send into the deportation industrial complex of the United States. And so, you know, to answer your question by telling his story, I wanted to expose the reader to the voices of the undocumented people who are actually living, you know, sort of the horrors of this every day. And, you know, I think it's important that we listen to those voices, you know, not just the voices of politicians or not the voices of people who've been in law enforcement like me, because I think, you know, those are the people that we need to humanize. I mean, you know, people like Jose are called criminals, but, you know, that's like this absurd, you know, technicality when you look at who these people are and you look at, you know, the way that we dehumanize them with our rhetoric. You know, maybe they would call Jose trying to get back to his family now chain migration, but it's family reunification. And I think that, you know, we have to change the way that we talk about immigration to not dehumanize these people.
The name of the book is The Line Becomes a River, Dispatches from the Border. The book is published by Riverhead. Francisco Cantu, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program. Best of luck with the book.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is The Line Becomes a River, Dispatches from the Border. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.